first question that we had was, what are the top ways that you see people self-sabotage their weight loss?
Welcome to the show where we help you make smart nutrition simple. If you want proven nutrition strategies to help you build a better body and create the energy to show up for your family without overly restrictive and unrealistic dieting, then you're in the right place. Make sure to subscribe and enjoy this episode.
Okay, welcome back to our monthly coaches roundtable. I am here with Coach Joey and Coach Dan and myself, Coach Ben. We're all here with Body Systems Coaching, and we're excited to break down a couple of the questions that you guys had submitted to us. And so let's just jump right in, fellas. We've got a few questions today. So first and foremost, and we'll see kind of how long it takes us to get through this. But first question that we had presented was, what are the top ways that you see people self-sabotage their weight loss? So let's break down a few different ways that you might be thinking about that. Who'd like to share first?
I think that's something that we all struggle with from time to time for various reasons, various mechanisms driving it. I think that the first thing that happens is a lot of people will start on a weight loss journey. And in many ways, I think that people have the idea that it's going to be easier than it ends up being. You know, in their mind, it's like, well, I'm going to hire this coach, or I'm going to go on this diet. I'm going to just start, you know, restricting certain foods, and I'll start running every day, and that'll be great. And then I'll lose the weight. And I mean, logically, that makes perfect sense, right? If you restrict some calories and start moving more, there's a healthy chance you're going to lose some body fat and some weight. But the truth of the matter is, what a lot of people think they actually need isn't really what they need. You know, we think that we need to restrict some calories. We think that we need to go do some, you know, brutal cardio workouts, cut out our favorite foods. And once we realize that that is a lot easier in theory than it is in action, we start to find reasons and even excuses as to why we're not doing it. And the reality is what we really needed all along wasn't to worry about restriction, brutal workouts, and cutting out our favorite foods. What we needed all along was to worry about why we're interacting with our world in the way that we are in the first place. What are our time management skills like? You know, when are we dropping the kids off at school? When are we going to work? When are we doing this or that? And that being said, how are we going to fit these activities into the day-to-day rhythm that we already have established? Now, you take that question and you extrapolate it out and you realize that what you really have a fault in is probably some boundaries around what you need. And that's where I think the first layer of self-sabotage really starts happening, is just an inadequate or non-existent set of boundaries with your friends, your family, your loved ones. And that lack of boundaries quickly turn into every reason in the book why you can't do what it is that you set out to do in the first place. And until you can start to sort out those boundaries by getting super honest with yourself about what really needs to happen and who you're going to have to say no to in order for you to make these changes, that self-sabotage cycle is going to perpetuate.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Joe. And I think, I think a lot of people come into the process thinking that they have to be perfect, right? We know this too, is that they don't start the diet until their life, everything, you know, all the ducks are lined up, and then like, hey, it's perfect. Totally. And then, but without accepting, and this goes to your point of sort of like constructing that life, I think once people accept that life is going to be a shitstorm and completely chaotic all the time, and once you acknowledge that, then you can find that life that you live in and start putting those pieces together and construct, as you said, the way that things need to happen versus having this ideology that it's got to be perfect or it's not going to work unless it's perfect, you know, once they're in it, right? And that's where, you know, the self-sabotage, because you take like a normal scenario, like, oh, I'm going to start Monday. And then Monday comes around, they got an email inbox that's completely full. They got, you know, unexpected things that pop up, and then Monday's not perfect. So what happens? The rest of the week is that shitstorm again. Like, I'll just start next Monday, right? Mm-hmm. Or I'm really good through the week and it's perfect. And then the weekend comes around and you know, a celebration or something pops up and it's like, well, it's not perfect now. And so I'm just going to, you know, sabotage myself and I'll wait till Monday again to redo it.
Yeah. So, thank you. You know what? You guys bring up such interesting points because the nature of the word, right? Self-sabotage is like, I don't think it's intentional. And I think we know this about maybe the root of it is like, it's not intentionally doing things that are going to, right, sabotage yourself. So you're not intentionally saying, well, I'm going to eat this cake because I don't want to lose the weight that I said I'm going to lose. But instead, it's a product of the environment that we've created or the faulty expectations that we have at play that are contributing to the invariable behaviors that we find ourselves lost in, like the behaviors that we've always had, to the degree that what I'm hearing from you guys is unless we're actually building the foundation appropriately, we can't expect to make the logistical changes around, right? How do I adhere to the diet plan? Because regardless, we need to create a calorie deficit, right? Like calories in, calories out. It is obviously a fundamental piece of the law of thermodynamics of how we lose weight. So we have to figure out a way to create a calorie deficit. Obviously, we're going to need to be able to infuse exercise into our daily plan. We're going to need to be able to do those things consistently. And so if and when we do end up falling off, if and when we do end up quote unquote self-sabotaging, what I'm hearing from you guys is it's not the diet per se that's the problem, although I think we can all agree that there certainly are elements of the dieting that can make it more realistic versus others, but it's really a product of, okay, I don't have the fundamental behaviors around what I'm committed to, how I'm aligning my priorities within my schedule, setting realistic expectations, who I'm surrounding myself with, how I'm building out my environment in a way that's allowing me to actually adhere to the plan. Does that kind of summarize things?
I think an idea to extrapolate from this or even expound is the sentiment that a lot of folks are decoupling the healthy version of themselves from the proverbial unhealthy version of themselves. Dan, you mentioned weekdays versus weekends. I'm really good on weekdays. Weekends, I completely fall apart. You know, we all kind of mentioned the case of the Mondays. You know, I'll just start on Monday. And all of these ideas had this all or nothing framework to them, where in your mind, and I can anecdotally speak to this, you know, this past weekend, I had a couple birthday parties for my kids. And I decided, you know what, I'm not going to track my food this weekend. Well, instantaneously, it's like a switch flips in my brain that it's like, I'm not tracking my food. So now I'm going to be the unhealthy version of myself. It's like this decoupled version, when the reality is, if you're identifying yourself as a healthy person, it's not going to matter if it's Monday, Tuesday, Saturday at a birthday party, or what day of the week it is. You're going to work toward learning and leaning into these foundational behaviors that allow you to make good decisions regardless of the environment or the day of the week. So I think maybe to just wrap the thought up is that kind of recoupling what so many of us are inclined to decouple, that healthy version of us sitting next to that unhealthy version of ourselves. How do we put those two people together to create a person who is consistently working toward a healthier version of themselves?
Yeah. And I don't know if this sort of follows on the same line, but you know, when Ben was talking about, I don't think people really intentionally self-sabotage themselves, but I do think there's a large consensus of individuals that, you know, that do enough to make some progress, but never take that or never build that framework or attempt to work it. I know we talked on our calls about this of like, hey, you can be good, but you may need to be great. If you really want to get to the level that you want, you need to put on a lot more of a framework and structure to get to that level versus like, hey, I can be good during the week and be a little bit bad on the weekends and still make some progress. But is it really the progress that you're wanting to make, you know, in that sort of whole scheme of things? And I think there's a little bit of self-sabotage that maybe they're intentionally doing it subconsciously or whatever, if that makes sense, right? Like, hey, I'm good. I'm not great, but I'm good. I'm still getting some progress. So I'm okay. And I can still be, you know, somewhat unhealthy on weekends or whatever the case may be. Does that make sense?
Hey guys, I want to interrupt this conversation briefly with an exciting announcement. If you're a father and struggling to lose the pounds that have crept on over the years, I understand your challenge. You're juggling a successful career, a loving family, and now you're looking to regain that energy and physique that seems to have slipped away. And that's exactly why I created PrimeFit Operating System. PrimeFit OS is a unique hybrid coaching program designed specifically for men like you. Now, you guys know me, we're not about quick fixes or impossible routines. Instead, we focus on real sustainable change through personalized nutrition and science-driven strength training, all wrapped up in a supportive community with expert guidance directly from me and my 20 years of experience working with men just like you. Imagine mastering your nutrition without restrictive dieting, getting stronger and leaner, and boosting your overall energy, all without overwhelming your already busy schedule. With PrimeFit OS, you're getting more than just a cookie-cutter nutrition and fitness plan. You're embarking on a transformative journey that fits into your life, not the other way around. So, if you're ready to take the first step towards a healthier, leaner, stronger, more energetic, confident, ass-kicking you, join us over at PrimeFit Operating System. Trust me, guys, your family, your career, and most importantly, you will thank you for it. So if you guys are interested in getting started and want to find out more about the program, let's chat. Just head over to primefitos.com/call and grab a time on my calendar. Remember, it's your time to be at your prime.
Yeah, well, think about it this way. When we are committed to making change, and I think what we're all alluding to here is the need to really divorce kind of our old self from our new self and create these new set of behavior skills and attributes that are gonna walk us into this new identity, right? And the problem with that is, right, like think about the level of discomfort that's necessary in order to do that by virtue of, well, our social support system. So I go hang out with my buddies at, you know, the sports bar every Friday night, and we eat pizza and we drink beers. And I really enjoy that. But now I'm acknowledging that, well, if I want to be in a position where I have more confidence, I'm more comfortable taking off my shirt, I want to lose body fat, it probably is not going to serve me very well to continue to commit to showing up on Friday nights and maybe Saturday nights at the sports bar and eating and drinking that stuff, right? And so that becomes very, very uncomfortable position to say, well, does that mean I can no longer hang out with these people? Think about for many of us, you know, and it's tons of clients that we've had, we're in a position where maybe they're getting more health-minded, but their spouse isn't, right? And their spouse enjoys eating and drinking certain things. And then there's this inevitable level of pressure or resentment present that they feel guilt around, that they might not be comfortable confronting to the degree that they're like, well, I'll just do it for her, I'll do it for him, right? Which invariably keeps them stuck in those same patterns. Think about how, you know, the level of enjoyment that comes from food and alcohol, or maybe the attention that we get from certain people when we're in certain physical situations, right? And maybe if I lose all of this weight, they won't pay attention to me. They won't like me the same way. These people won't, connect with me anymore. And so it really is this rooting into like a new identity to the degree that for a lot of people, again, subconsciously, it's like we just might not realize how uncomfortable that is. And by virtue of starting to dig into that, like feel like it's almost easier just to stay where we are.
Well, isn't that the very nature of self-sabotage? I mean, one of my favorite questions as a coach is if you say yes to this, what do you have to say no to? And in that regard, yes and no decisions are a zero-sum game. If I say yes to becoming a healthy person, I'm going to have to say no to some things, period. And a layer of self-sabotage, if we want to continue on that line of thinking, is just the unwillingness to have that tough conversation or to even seek out a social support network that is different, because we're so comfortable in our discomfort. I mean, let's be frank, if you're sitting there wanting to lose a bunch of weight because you're not comfortable with the way you look or feel, you're uncomfortable, but you're many are more comfortable being uncomfortable with the same old routines and the same old people and the same old rhythms than they are going and seeking out that new environment. So it's almost like this built-in interwoven self-sabotage, air quotes, intentional, of just not being willing to branch out beyond what feels comfortable right now. The perceived pain of change has to be less than the perceived pain of staying the same. And many people just simply aren't there yet.
Totally. 100%. And I really would root so much of what we experience with clients around this very identity change, this very aspect of having really hard, uncomfortable conversations with people that we love in order to get the level of support and create the type of environment that we know that we need to be successful. And so what can we do? Like, what are two or three action steps that we can offer to those listeners that might find that they're in these types of circumstances where they keep replaying the same cycle of making some progress, then backtracking, making some progress, then backtracking? Where do we start, Joey?
I think it's the first place to start is to look at your onus of control. What about your behavior do you control, and what about your behavior is completely out of your control? There's an exercise I love that is called the spheres of control. And I don't have a graphic or anything in front of me to show you, but if you can imagine, you know, you have three circles, one getting bigger around the other. The inside circle is things you have complete control of. The outside circle is something you have some control of. And the final circle are the things you have absolutely no control of. And I think that a lot of us don't take the time to really look at all of the tasks and things and interactions that we have in a day, how much control we do or we do not have over certain tasks, interactions, and outcomes. And if we can start to just look and be very honest with ourselves, you know, like, what are the things that I have to do in a day? What are the things that are going to happen to me and I have no control over in a day? And how am I reacting to those things? And are some of the things that I feel like maybe I are totally out of my control, is there a circumstance where I could start to reel those into having some control over? You know, I feel like I have no control over my social situation. I'm surrounded by a bunch of people who just want to drink and eat pizza all the time. I don't have control over what those people do, but I can take some control over how much of my time I give to them. And eventually I might be able to take total control over that thing and just set the boundary that, you know what, I'm more than happy to hang out with you guys, but it has to be under a circumstance that helps me work toward what I'm working toward right now. And if that's not cool with you, that's cool. No hard feelings. We'll circle back at a time in our lives when it makes sense for us to hang out again. You take something you feel you have no control over, turn it into something you feel you have some control over, and eventually turn it into something you have total control over. But that in itself is a process. And people don't like to look at the process. They like to think that starting on Monday, I'm going on a diet. Boom, end of story. Everything's going to work out great. If you can turn it into something that's operationalized, like I just described, then suddenly you can really start to see small changes making big effects on your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's obviously a big process in and of itself, which, you know, one of the things we talk a lot about is helping people get clarity with their calendar and creating structure and systems within their schedule so that they can exert that level of control and really acknowledge what they do have control over, what they don't, and taking full ownership over this process. Again, far beyond just like macros and exercise. It's like, if you don't have that onus of control around the entirety of your schedule and what you're committed to, you're going to be relegated to other people's wants and needs far beyond what I think is going to be conducive towards the progress that you say that you want. And you said this, Joey, and Dan and I had a conversation about this recently, but it basically is that everything that we want in life lives on the other side of having hard conversations, right? Now, Dan, what is it that you talk to clients about? And perhaps, are there any examples that come to mind that someone might be able to walk away with as a step in the right direction?
You know, I think it's one thing to go, yeah, I want to lose 20 pounds. but then have the other conversation, like, for me to lose 20 pounds, I have to do X, Y, and Z. Am I really prepared to go to those lengths to make that happen? And it's not trying to get away from the all or nothing mentality of like, oh, wow, that's a lot of things that I have to do to get that 20 pounds. But starting that journey to like, hey, okay, let's focus on this first thing. Can I really do this first thing well? And then can I do that next thing? Can we work towards that next thing? I think that's that understanding of like, yes, it's going to be really tough and may take some time, but these are the steps that you actually need to take to get there. Because if this is the end goal and these are the 20 things that you need to get done or 5 things that you need to get done that are really tough, A, can you really agree with yourself to say, I can do it, and be honest with you. So I think there's a lot of people, we come across this with clients that, you know, we have those conversations like, yeah, I can do that. I'm going to put the work in and things like that. But I can see, and you probably both can see that as well, that I think they only half believe it, right? They may only look like, yeah, when it really gets tough to those bigger steps, am I really wanting to give up the alcohol? If that's the limiting factor, right? And that's sort of that, again, of being able to have that hard conversation with themselves and really define, can they actually make those efforts to make that happen? I think that's probably the biggest insight I might be able to give to somebody, of being able to, challenge themselves with the true honesty, and then B, commit to those stages that need to happen to actually make it come to fruition.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, ultimately this comes down to, and we'll kind of wrap it up here, but ultimately this comes down to getting really, really granular in our day-to-day with, like Joey said, the things that mm-hmm. we can control, and just starting to stack wins, starting to provide evidence that supports the type of person that we want to become, right? To the degree that might be like, no, you know, you're not, you're eating too many calories or you're drinking too much alcohol. Like, yes, like globally, we understand that very clearly, but what's contributing to all of these things? Or every weekend you blow it. Why? Well, because you don't have structure. You don't have consistency. Well, what's all of that coming down to? And so some of the conversations, you know, I had a conversation with a client very recently, and what a lot of this came down to was really the fact that she wanted to be making better decisions with her nutrition, but at the end of the day, her husband was the one that was preparing all of the food. And there were certain meals and recipes that he liked to build, you know, that he liked to cook on a weekly basis. And she felt guilt around trying to exert her wants and needs into his existing routine because, you know, he was the one that was spending all of this time. He was doing the grocery shopping. And at the end of the day, it was creating this level of friction. He was resentful of the fact that she didn't want him to do things a certain way. She was resentful of the fact that he wouldn't acknowledge the changes that she wanted to make. And it perpetuates this vicious cycle, so much so that we kind of had to have the conversation around, okay, well, what would it look like for you guys to communicate together around, can we build a meal plan that's going to work for you, that still includes the foods that you enjoy for the husband, that the kids will eat, that are going to work for me and my meal plan, and how can we lay that out, right? And as it turns out, they sat down on a Sunday afternoon and we're just open about it. She said, here's what I want. Here's why it's important to me. Here's the level of support that I feel like I need from you. He said, okay, well, here's what's easy for me given my work schedule and when I go shopping. And then we actually helped them build out a meal plan. At the end of it, he was excited to try some new things. It was way easier than what he thought she was going to need. And it helped them create the system now that they're infusing to help her make better decisions more consistently and for them to be more aligned. And I think it provides a good example of like, listen, if you're not having those hard conversations, then you're living in this gray where no one's going to win. And so identify those areas where there might be a little bit of friction, where you might need to just step in and say, this is what I want, this is what I need. And then let's figure out a way to to make it happen for you so that you stop, quote unquote, self-sabotaging or staying stuck in your old patterns, right? Because what's the worst thing that happens from having a hard conversation is like there's already friction in place, or, you know, oftentimes, just really briefly, another example is like you show up at a party or something and you don't want to be the guy, you know, you're concerned about what everyone's thinking about you for not drinking, when we're in reality, and I've been in the situation before, when I say I'm not drinking, the other person says, oh, good, I'm glad I'm not the only one, because I didn't want to drink it either. You wouldn't have known, right? And then maybe you both ended up drinking out of pressure when neither of you wanted to.
You know, if you ask anybody, any of the three of us on this bridge or any of our clients, you know, what are your biggest priorities in life? Give them a few options. Most people are going to have something. They're going to say, well, my family or my health or my business or something along those lines. Those are my priorities. But then if you look at the way that they're allocating their time, if you look at the way that things actually break down, you could probably make the argument that it's like, well, you know, your family is your priority, but yet there's this massive friction in your household because you're having a hard time communicating with your family about what you actually need in your life right now. And if for your family, their priority is also family, then they're probably feeling that friction too. So the truth of the matter is, how are we going to honor that priority? And we're going to honor that priority by having that hard conversation, because it's going to take this small friction that exists right now and open it up into something that we can actually talk about and move forward from. Or maybe realize we're not going to move forward from, and we either have to accept that and move on from the friction, or decide if that's still the right environment for us. But either way, getting really clear on your priorities, and then subsequently how much the way you're allocating your time truly aligns with those priorities, is one of the key things that needs to happen in anybody's life who wants to truly affect change and live to their values and priorities, not to overuse that word.
Beautiful. Well, I think we've done justice to the topic at hand. Obviously, lots of opportunity to determine where your priorities lie, what tough conversations you need to have in your life so that you can start living into the behaviors that I know are going to support the outcome that you want, because you ultimately are in control of the outcome here. So I appreciate you guys taking time to tune in, and we will catch you in next month's roundtable. Make sure to let us know what questions you have that you want answered on our monthly coaches roundtable, and let us know if and how we can support you in any other way. Take care. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you so much for listening. And if you found this content valuable, here are four ways I can help you in your nutrition journey for free. One, grab a free copy of my Fat Loss Fix Guide at fatlossfixguide.com. 2, join my free group at smartnutritionmadesimple.com. 3, subscribe to my YouTube channel at smartnutritionmadesimpletv.com. 4, leave a 5-star rating and positive review so that we can gain access to more nutrition experts ready to share their knowledge with you and ultimately help more people make smart nutrition simple.